Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
As tempting as it was to overreact following week one of the NFL season, it is even more tempting to step into it, to fall into it, to trip into it, and overreact with two games in the books, because now it's a pattern, right? There's a sample size. Except for the two games that we have on Monday Night Football, we have seen every other team twice. So now it seems perfectly sane and completely logical to overreact, or as we call it, react. So, where are you tempted to overreact or just react after 2 weeks with your team? Granted, we have a doubleheader of Monday Night Football coming up in mere hours. It'll actually start an hour early, and I know there's a bunch of people. It's going to happen, mark my words. A bunch of people, at least the ones that I follow on social, who are all East Coasters, some of them working in the business, my business, many of them believing that Monday Night Football should be moved up every week so it starts at 4:15 Pacific time because that's better for their schedules. Oh, okay. Just mark my words. You're going to see it on Twitter, especially. People wishing, wistfully, that Monday Night Football would begin at 7:15 Eastern. Completely forgetting about the fact that there is another half of the country for which that is not convenient at all. But it is a doubleheader and a pair of division games. One in the NFC South, one in the AFC North. Really excited to see what Derek Carr and the Saints do in their second game, how Bryce Young can build on his season opener and career debut in the NFL. And then, you know, these AFC North matchups are dogfights. And the Steelers don't want to go down 0-2, especially with a game on their own field coming up on Monday night. So it'll be Browns at Steelers. The Browns trying to go to 2-0. Their former quarterback is 2-0 for the first time in his career. Baker's back, baby. We have so much to talk about. I'm really excited. But there's my first overreaction. Baker's back, baby. You know how much I love alliteration. BBB. What is your temptation to overreact? Where is it? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I'd love to hear from you. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, we'll get a post up. You can respond to it. Many of you already responding to what, and I didn't tweet nearly as much on Sunday because my head was spinning. Like Dan Campbell talks about with his Lions when they do joint practices. My head was spinning. There was a lot to talk about, a lot to keep track of. I should say a lot to write about with my notes, a lot to keep track of. So for that reason, I didn't really have time to tweet, which is That happens every now and then. I often use Twitter, though, to be able to keep track or to chart stats or my emotions in watching a particular moment. Except I've noticed now, because I'm a little bit crazy on Sunday afternoons, I will spell things wrong and leave them on Twitter anyway, like @Izona, because that seems completely reasonable. I don't want to take it down now, though, because it's funny. Well, and Cardinals fans not laughing, so maybe they could at least find some wry humor in how I spelled their state, their franchise locale. So find me on Twitter. Don't need to tell me I spelled it wrong. Already know. Also on Facebook, what is your temptation on this Sunday night? Where do you most want to overreact? Fess up, peeps. I'm going with Baker Mayfield, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're 2-0, and Baker hasn't turned the ball over yet. I'm telling you, this could be a new, wise, experienced, battle-tested Baker. There we go. A battle-tested Baker.
Hello.
We've had some twists and turns. We had some pretty impressive, jaw-dropping rallies in our games on Sunday. We had the return of players like Chris Jones. Also, Travis Kelce for the Chiefs. Season debuts in different places. Injuries to talk about as well. And let's hope that come Monday, we don't have another injury as serious as the one Aaron Rodgers suffered, though. Did you see the report about Aaron? Something along the lines of, we'll talk about it more later, but something along the lines of, he agreed to an innovative type of surgery and treatment that is aggressively designed to get him back on the field faster. Maybe even get him back on the field before the end of the regular season. What? How is that even possible? Like I said, we'll read more about it. We'll talk more about it. We'll see more about it. But for now, we've got players who are still upright, players who are not in hospital beds. I wish Aaron Rodgers was playing. The Jets certainly wish he was playing. But the Dolphins and Patriots, probably not so much. Maybe they feel for Aaron, but they're certainly not wishing he was back on the field in what is a very competitive AFC East. And we still have yet to see if there will be any separation among these four teams. Right now, it's the Patriots at the bottom of the division. Dolphins on the road at Gillette Stadium on Sunday night, and a real lopsided first half. A DeMario Douglas fumble sparks a six-minute drive for the Miami Dolphins. On the road in New England is a big deal, right? Because they're tough at home. That defense is full of veterans. Everybody back except for the second McCourty, who retired. And Miami jumps out to a 10-0 start. Raheem Mostert on his way to a huge performance on Sunday night. He gets the touchdown in helping the Dolphins go up 10 points. And whether they are playing more deliberately, whether they're playing more up-tempo, trying the two-minute drill right before half. What I like is that we're seeing a solid mix from the Dolphins. Tua looks comfortable to me. Not like last year didn't happen, because that wouldn't be fair. But he looks like his confidence remains intact. And I like the fact that he has trust with his weapons. Specifically, Tyreek Hill. Now, this wasn't a 215-yard performance. He was largely contained, but he still gets free, and it's impossible to keep him completely ineffective.
Tagovailoa is in the shotgun. They wind the clock. Tua gets the snap. Back to pass. Looks right. Throws right. Caught. Touchdown, Miami. It's Tyreek Hill. A 2-yard touchdown pass from Tagovailoa to Hill. third touchdown catch of the season for Tyreek Hill, and the Dolphins lead 16-3 with 11 seconds to go in half number one.
Yeah, they're able to, as I say, dominate that first half, turn the Patriots' mistakes, couple penalties, a turnover, into points and pad the lead. That's the call with Ryan Radke on the Westwood One Radio Network. Though Tyreek has just 5 catches for 40 yards, he does have the touchdown. Now, late in the third quarter, the Patriots start to flip the script a little bit, and they do it not with offense, at least not initially. They do it with the defense and the special teams.
Snaps to Bailey. The kick is down. Blocked by Schuler. The ball is loose at the 45. It's picked up by New England. Duggar recovers on the block by Brendan Schuler. The Patriots take over at the Miami 49.
Trips to the left, including Gesicki on the wing. He motions toward the backfield as Jones takes the snap. Fakes it to Stevenson. Mack on the rollout run. He's being chased. He throws to the end zone. Caught. Henry. Touchdown. Patriots.
On the Patriots radio network, between the blocked field goal, while there was a Mack interception at the 3-yard line, which abruptly ended their next offensive possession, New England forces a 3-and-out then, the defense. So here we're talking about special teams with the block, the defense forcing a 3-and-out to help the offense recover from the turnover, and then boom. Mack finds a rhythm. He and his receivers able to settle in a little bit. The same thing as we saw last week in the season opener for the Patriots. They got into a big hole against the Eagles initially and then finally kind of settled in. Now, you wouldn't think a team like this with as many veterans would have the jitters or the nerves, but for whatever reason, they are not playing well to start games. And the problem is they're falling into a hole that is at least 2 touchdowns. Remember last week against the Eagles, it was 16-0. Right? So regardless of how well the Patriots play in the second half, the problem is you're asking the defense to be near perfect when you put them behind the 8-ball by 14 points. And then you don't have nearly as much time and real estate to work with. And the offense itself has to become a little more one-dimensional, not completely, but you saw a lot more of Mac Jones trying to push the ball downfield, force the issue, and yes, finding Hunter Henry, who's been one of his favorite targets early in the season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So twice the Patriots are able to pull within a touchdown around a 2 interception. They have a quick punt, though. So it's a mixed bag still for a lot of teams. But the Patriots can't afford that, right? Like, they have to be really good on every possession if they're going to spot their opponent 14 points or 16 points before they ever get started. And honestly, I appreciate the Dolphins' response. Every time the Patriots found some momentum, sure, there was an interception in there, there was a 3-and-out, but they were tenacious enough and never coughed up the lead.
Mostert, the running back, Waddle flanked to the right. They give it to Mostert. Mostert, big hole up the middle. 30, 20, 10, touchdown Miami.
Oh, Raheem Mostert, he just put that into fourth gear real quickly and it was over. Nobody was going to catch him.
Raheem Mostert is the only repeat player I have on my fantasy team now from last year when I won the championship. Now that Aaron Rodgers is no longer on my team, it was a bad pick anyway. But Raheem is a gold mine. And I moved him off the bench into the starting lineup, just feeling like there was going to be an opportunity to run the ball. And we know the Dolphins want to do that. Why do they want to do it? Well, in large part to protect Tua. They know, I mean, it's standard football 101. Uh-oh, no, the computer shut down. Not that I'm reading off the computer, but apparently it's not really plugged in. That's a bummer. Okay, well, just lost the computer. Good thing I have my notes. Anyway, they know that in order to have success this year, in large part, they need to keep Tua upright and healthy. All right, in large part, that means prevent him from getting hit. And running the ball is the number one way to do that. You hand off, there's less of a chance your quarterback, well, your quarterback shouldn't be taking any contact then. That would be a penalty in most situations. So Raheem goes 43 yards. Once again, the call there on the Westwood One radio network. But if there's an Achilles heel for the Dolphins, it's the fact that they really struggled, scuffled on special teams. Jason Sanders had a pair of kicks blocked. And then Mike McDaniel chooses, instead of punting late in the game, decides to try a 55-yarder, which is missed. So New England still has life, still has an opportunity. And it was a crazy ending. I tweeted about this called improv football.
Jones back in the shotgun. Now moves Stevenson into the right slot. Jones waits. Here's the snap. Back to pass on fourth down. Rush coming. Throws left. Gesicki makes the catch of the 30, but he is wrapped up. He is taken backwards. He flips it back to an old lineman who is wrapped up, driving forward, close to a first down. He flipped it back to Cole Strange, and it's going to be a first down.
Oh, my gosh. I've never seen that before. Get the ball to your athletes in space, number 69, Cole Strange.
The first down is under further review.
Couple of these plays for the Patriots in the second half where they come up just short. Ross Tucker there howling along with Ryan on Westwood One. Yeah, they do go ahead and look at it. I really needed it to be a first down so that we could watch this highlight over and over again. An awkward lateral to a big man who kind of rumbles, he stumbles, and then he somehow, well, he gets a push from behind, somehow manages to even get close to the first down marker. But ultimately, the Dolphins stop the Pats on fourth down, and they're able to preserve their second win of the season. Now, coming up, we'll hear from Mike McDaniel, who is far more loquacious than Bill Belichick. Shocker. And also Tua. And Tyreek Hill has a message for the Patriots fans and why the Patriots locker room is not discouraged. I mean, how about don't get into a 2-touchdown hole in the first half and your season looks a whole lot different. So I can easily see a silver lining with New England. They just got to come. Here's the problem, though. 2 losses on their own field to start the season. That's an issue. And so in getting behind and being unable to come all the way back, in losing games to Philadelphia and Miami, who were both playoff teams a year ago, you've missed major opportunities at Gillette Stadium. It does not get easier when you go on the road. And so that's the issue. The silver lining is stop coming out flat, stop coming out with a bunch of mistakes. Play the first halves like you've played the second halves, and this is easily a competitive team. But to lose these first two on the home home field and now have to go on the road where it becomes a lot more challenging, that's a problem for New England, especially in a division where I wouldn't say it's opening up for grabs, but it's an uphill climb and it's extremely competitive and you have to fight tooth and nail for everything. What is your reason to overreact? Where's your temptation to overreact on this NFL Sunday week 2? On Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on the Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Who needs a computer, really? I have no idea why it's not charging, but you know, live radio, anything can and will happen. It's kind of like the NFL. We'll let you hear the reaction from Sunday Night Football in New England straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
Can I get a refill, please?
No one wants to get sidelined by COVID-19, including me. I've got my work, my family. I want to be able to keep my plans. I'm getting this season's COVID-19 shot. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. Learn about eligibility and schedule your COVID-19 shot on the CDC site vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
Oh, look who's here.
To the After Hours Podcast.
Mostert, the running back. Waddle flat to the right. They give it to Mostert. Mostert, big hole up the middle. 30, 20, 10. Touchdown, Miami.
Oh, Raheem Mostert. He just put that into fourth gear real quickly, and it was over. Nobody was going to catch him.
We'll continue to watch film, continue to grow, continue to get better. You know, I think the defense did a lot of great things for us, giving us opportunities to get the ball in the end zone. We didn't capitalize, and, you know, I thought our O-line did great. Our run game was solid. So, you know, to the point of taking what they give you, you know, I made a costly mistake. It could have been costly, but it's a team sport. So just happy that we could come out with a win.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
Tua and the Miami Dolphins are now 2-0. He doesn't have 466 yards passing like last week in Los Angeles, but 250 along with a touchdown, and you hear him reference his mistake, his interception, which kind of served a little bit like a punt. So for the Miami Dolphins, one of the things that I like is that we've seen different iterations of the offense, and certainly the defense, a team that, while last week gave up a lot of yards to the Chargers, they're able to lock down and able to help protect the lead once the Dolphins had it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Winning that turnover battle again, especially on the road, is always huge. If you're a Dolphins fan, are you tempted to overreact? Oh, even more so if you're a Patriots fan, are you tempted to overreact? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up at the top of the hour, so about 35 minutes from now, Dave Hyde of the South Florida Sun Sentinel will join us, a repeat guest of ours, who's obviously been charting not just Tua last season, and of course the quarterback situation with the Dolphins, but the offseason and how he got to the point at which he is ready to start fresh in 2023. Seems like the Dolphins do go toe-to-toe with the Patriots every year. To be able to go on the road in New England in week number two up against Bill Belichick and his defense, that's a big deal.
Playing this defense is they're not going to give up too many explosives. They really want you to work for yardage, and it's definitely a take what they give you kind of defense. And they play sound football, so they're trying to force you to make mistakes.
It felt tremendous, man. Those fans are, some of the worst fans in the NFL, and I'm gonna stand on that, man, because they are real nasty, and some of the things that they were saying wasn't, I wouldn't say in church. So it felt great to wave goodbye to the fans, and I'll do it again. Bye.
So Tyreek Hill, not quite as diplomatic as Tua, complimenting Bill Belichick and the defense and how hard it is to play in New England. Tyreek waving goodbye and directing it at the fans, not the Patriots themselves. It wasn't Tyreek that made the most noise on the field. It was Mostert. 18 carries, 121 yards, and a score. Huge opportunity there for the Dolphins to be able to control the ball and use the run game, protect Tua, and also then control the game. It's one of my favorite sayings. Control the ball, control the game. And the Dolphins barely won the time of possession battle, but they did have a lot more rushing yards and ultimately able to get six of their first downs with the rush, which is good. They're going to pass more often, right? Because that's their strength. By the way, Jalen Waddle, who hauled in nearly 90 yards worth of receptions, he ended up leaving in the fourth quarter after a big hit. Don't have an update from him with Mike McDaniel. McDaniel had a unique way of describing this victory in New England.
Long. It was a divisional matchup, as you expect, where those are hard to really separate yourselves. Sometimes you have the opportunity to, in your mind, put the game away, but generally against good football teams, that's not the case. I thought that complementary football did exist. I thought the team played well together, picked up on each other's momentum.
Yeah, you take it however you can get it. A win is a win is a win is a win, especially on the road and especially early in the season. As for the Patriots, I told you Bill Belichick won't have nearly as much to say as Mike McDaniel.
Not too much to say after that one.
There's something to say.
Tough loss. But got to learn from it and just keep working harder and move on.
Our defense has continued to do a great job in the games, and we saw it firsthand in practice all offseason. So they just got to keep doing their thing, and we got to figure it out on our side.
Mac Jones, 31 of 42, 231 yards, has a touchdown, has a pick, got sacked four times. And so the O-line lost that battle in the trenches. Not only did the defensive line, the pass rush get through to Mac Jones, but they weren't able to run the ball. And maybe they run the ball a little more if they're not trailing by a couple of touchdowns early. But yet again, that's what I mentioned. When you fall behind early by two scores, sometimes that limits your options. A lot of times that limits what you can do offensively. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not concerned about the Pats as much as it might be a temptation for New Englanders or Patriots fans around the country to overreact, because the biggest problem to me is falling behind early on, is coming out flat. I don't want to say unprepared to play, because that's not fair. That would maybe seem to indicate an issue with the coaching staff and having them ready, and we know that's not the case. But for whatever reason, two games at home to start the season, they've not hit the ground running. Did they need Tom Brady to come bolting out of the tunnel yelling LFG? Except Last week he did that. No, it took him longer, but he did do that since he was honored at halftime and it didn't spark them to a quick start. They have to match the intensity. They have to match the sense of urgency of their opponents. And now they really do, because they're already in an 0-2 hole with two games at home. But I don't think there's a reason to panic. I do love the veteran leadership on the Patriots side of things, and I believe they can turn it around. Same as the Bengals, for instance.
I know we lost. I know it looks bad. You're 2-0. You start 2-0, but it's not a bad team. So don't get to asking those type of questions. We're gonna speak matter of fact. But I don't think we're about to hang our head up here or in the locker room.
I feel like we're a great team. I feel like we show great things these last two games. We show great plays, great attributes. We show really promising things. We just need to keep working, keep trusting the process, keep putting it together, and things will start turning around.
Matthew Judon, first of all, had a sack and a couple of hits. Says we're not going to talk X's and O's. And I like how he says we're 2-0. Well, kind of. I mean, kind of. You do have two of something. And then Dredrick Wise, who's on that defensive line, had several tackles. The defense is good. There's some experience on both sides of the ball, which is why it's a little surprising that they get behind early. But got to give credit to both the Eagles and the Dolphins for the way they've jumped on the Pats, especially at Gillette, to try to silence the crowd a little bit. Although you can hear them roaring at the end when they're coming back. And Tyreek Hill, on this day, on this night, ends up with the last laugh and the last wave. All right, producer Jay has put up a spot on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. Where's the temptation to overreact after two games, week two, although we still have a doubleheader on Monday night? Our Facebook page, too, we'll get that all ready and up and available for you. Later on, we'll have the Monday MVP poll, which was won by Tyreek Hill last week. Now, straight ahead, the biggest story of week number one, by far, Aaron Rodgers' ruptured Achilles. 4 minutes, four plays into the Jets' season. Four offensive plays. He's in recovery now in California. The job belongs to Zach Wilson. But in Dallas, that's a tough ask. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, here to tell you about my new podcast, Search Engine. On Search Engine, we tackle the kinds of questions that keep you up at night. Like, why are drug dealers putting fentanyl in everything? Should we be worried that Elon Musk believes that we're living in a simulation? And, for the love of God, is it actually unsafe to drink the coffee on airplanes? On Search Engine, no question is too big and no question is too small. Listen and follow Search Engine with PJ Vogt and Odyssey Podcast. Available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing.
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Ball near the left hash, Prescott in the gun, back is on his left. Snap goes back, looking to his left, looking, checks it down. Ferguson at the one, leans over the pylon, touchdown.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Dallas Cowboys with their home opener, hosting a beleaguered New York Jets team that had lost to Aaron Rodgers just days before. And the Cowboys race out to a 10-point lead with a real lopsided time of possession in that first half. with a call there on the Cowboys Radio Network. It's Brad Sham. We know what this Cowboys defense is capable of, right? We know they can hold a New York Giants team with a bunch of weapons scoreless. We know they can win the turnover battle. Did you really think they were going to be able to shut out a second team for a second week in a row?
Zach Wilson, play action, drops the throw, fires one over the middle, and it's caught. Breaking freak, Aaron Wilson, left sideline of the 40, right down the middle of the field, now to the 30, 20, 10, 5, that's a Jet touchdown. Aaron Wilson strikes, and the Jets are on the board.
Okay, maybe not. Maybe not back-to-back shutouts. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So New York wakes up with a 68-yard catch and run by Garrett Wilson. You hear it with Bob Wischusen there on Jets Radio. It was kind of fun on CBS. If you were watching the game, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo were pointing out that during the previous timeout on the sidelines, you had Zach and Garrett in a, it wasn't a heated discussion. It was spirited. We'll call it spirited. This wasn't A.J. Brown asking for the ball or asking to be more involved in the offense. This was the two of them passionately discussing an opportunity. And not only did they discuss it with a lot of spirit, they executed it with a lot of spirit. It was a sweet cross from Garrett, and he snags the pass, perfectly placed by Zach, and it was off to the races. Though Dallas does respond. And I got the sense that at least initially, yeah, there might be an opportunity here or there. Sure, you're talking about some major playmakers on the Jets' offense. Even though it's not Aaron Rodgers, we know Garrett Wilson and others. These were Breece Hall. These were two incredibly prosperous rookies last year before Breece got hurt, certainly. But it felt a little bit like a cat and a mouse, or my cat playing with the mouse, torturing the mouse, and then just kind of leaving the mouse for dead because eventually she got bored with it.
First and goal at the one, straight eye formation, play fake, looking right, left, throws it in the end zone, caught, flag is down. This is the first professional catch and touchdown for Luke Schoonmaker if the penalty is on the defense.
How about that? The tight end, Luke Schoonmaker, with his first NFL catch, and it's a touchdown. Yes, in fact, the flag was against the defense. Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. In the second half, it was all Dallas D. The big D. In the big D. Four takeaways. And I know it's easy to focus on three interceptions by Zach Wilson. It wasn't just on Zach. They had to throw the ball, right? They had to try to chuck and duck. They had to take some risks because they were behind. New York defense did actually do its best to limit the points after the mistakes. So believe it or not, despite four turnovers by the Jets in the second half, Cowboys only managed two field goals off those turnovers. So there is a lot of potential and promise with the Jets. This was a tough matchup for them and a tough matchup for Zach Wilson. This number blew me away, and Mike McCarthy referenced it post-game, even as the Cowboys didn't give up anything really in the second half. Dallas had a plus 24.5-minute margin in the time of possession. They had the ball for 24.5 minutes longer than did the Jets. And when the Jets had the ball, they struggled on third down. 1 for 10 against the Cowboys defense on third down. So it wasn't a shutout. But if you are in the business of overreacting, I bet there are some Cowboys fans that are tempted to overreact with two victories against two New York teams in 2 weeks. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, the defense was dynamic, but so was Dak Prescott. To me, this was his better game of the two that we've seen so far. And it's a lot of fun to see actually the way that the run game with Tony Pollard, we saw him last year be willing to do anything the Cowboys asked of him in order to be out there on the field. He's now the feature back, right? Because Ezekiel Elliott is with the, oh, he's with the Patriots. Yeah. We didn't see a whole lot of him on Sunday night. So to have the Tony Pollard component to be able to run the ball, and they did against the Jets, 134 rushing yards, but to have the complementary defense, and in the second half, the defense actually being the leader and setting the tone, this is really impressive what the Cowboys have done in 2 weeks.
Coach set out a goal, 28 completions. Obviously, we hit that. Run game did a great job. We've got to score more. We've got to get more touchdowns rather than field goals. But at the end of the day, in this league, it's about getting the job done and winning the game and being complimentary of your defense. And I think we did that. As you said, very efficient in ways. And but we left a lot out there still. I mean, that's the standard of this offense, standard of this team. We expect to score touchdowns on every drive. And so when you don't do that, you know, you still haven't hit your goal, I guess you can say. So, yeah, a lot we can do better, but overall a very efficient team win that I'm proud of. It's hard to win in this league.
For our defense, obviously went through a quarterback change, and we felt going in that we were needed to control the ball, go a long way with efficiency, and and the guys did a great job executing the plan. I think we're what, plus 20 or 20 minutes time possession at halftime, but obviously the score was 18-10, and I think our defense just opened it up clearly with the four takeaways. So, plus four, took good care of the ball. We had a lot going on with our offensive line, but that's that's complimentary football. That was the outlook going in, and our players did an excellent job.
So the Dallas Cowboys moved to 2-0, while the Jets are at 1-1, but without Aaron Rodgers. Instead, it's Zach Wilson getting his first start since last season. And yes, there were three interceptions, but you may have heard multiple guys following the game defending Zach. This is not all on him.
Up until we had to force it, I thought he did a really nice job. He hit strike route to Garrett for that big touchdown. I thought he did a really nice job at the end of half, moving the chains, getting us some points. It just, like I said, that team, when you have to get into a drop-back game with those guys consistently, it's not going to be pretty.
Just constantly building, constantly building. It's, it's there for sure. And game flow is always plays into that. And we try not to go out of our way to do anything. But we know it's there. And whenever that time comes, we'll be ready.
Garrett Wilson and Zach Wilson did start working on their chemistry last year. And we've seen them with a lot of conversation. Even Garrett last week, really complimentary of Zach, the way he came off the bench and stepped in, kind of got the huddle focused and moving forward when Rodgers went down. And I know, again, like Robert Saleh said, they had to throw the ball in the second half, meaning the Cowboys' defense was waiting for them. The Cowboys defense could set up based on New York being much more one-dimensional. Zach Wilson was the leading rusher in this game. Okay, so that's not what the Jets want, but second of all, that's not indicative of what would be a competitive game, right? So you're throwing the ball more, you're having to take risks. And so, yeah, there were three interceptions, 170 yards, and the score for Zach Wilson as well. He was sacked three times.
I thought I was seeing it well for the first three quarters of that game, but, we kept getting stopped, and, there's always going to be things we can keep cleaning up, but, I thought I was seeing it well, at least for the first three quarters, and, I think if we go back and watch this film, we'll be able to keep pushing on some of that stuff.
When you're racking up plays, I think we saw almost 90 of them today. Yeah, you're going to run out of gas, and we just didn't give ourselves a chance defensively to get off the field, to give our offense a chance to get any kind of rhythm going.
Robert Saleh has got to keep his spirits up. And there were a couple of moments where you could see him real fired up on the sidelines. That's who he is. He's got a lot of adrenaline, a lot of energy. Maybe a younger version of Pete Carroll, just as intense. and the team will take their cue from him. But the team will also take its cue from some of the veterans on the defense. Yeah, Zach Wilson's a leader really just by default, but according to everyone who's around him, he's a lot more mature, he's a lot more prepared, he's a lot more confident. This was a tough way to jump in and get his feet wet. Not only taking over for Aaron last week really abruptly and with the team kind of shell-shocked, and they got the win, and now this week on the road in Dallas. It was ugly. The second half was ugly. So give credit to the Cowboys because they knew exactly what they had to do. And don't look now, but in the NFC Beast, three teams are 2-0. Wowzers, going to be tough. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.